Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for the offers.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
Doe.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Every Tuesday, Thursday, we record podcast exclusive content outside of the confines of the television audio. In the television show today, we have James Harden as a potential MVP candidate. We argue about the call, or non-call rather, on DeJounte Carrington in the Baylor-UConn game. And of course, we break down the two teams that have punched their ticket to the Final Four. Jalen Rose, right now you are headed to the airport. You're in a car headed to the airport. Where are you headed?
I am headed to Indianapolis, Indiana, because the Michigan Wolverines are playing an Elite Eight basketball game against the UCLA Bruins. And just like the Sweet 16, it's one thing to cheer for your team at the TV or on social media. I like to combine the two and actually go to the game. So when we finish the show, I'm headed to the airport to go show love and support for my Wolverines.
You got locker room pass?
COVID makes it a little tricky.
Yeah.
But once we cut down the nets, I'll be on the court. I'm about passing all of that.
I think you're so sweet to everybody, right? Like, we've hung out a lot. You always tip everybody. You're such a personal person. You never turn anybody down and wants a photo or anything when you're late. But in NBA arenas, you act like you own the place. NBA arenas, you just show up, no ticket. Anybody try to stop you, like, I'm Jalen Rose, bro. I'm part of the fraternity. I wore Jerry the logo on my chest for 13 years. I'm going wherever I want.
Sometimes that's how this works.
In the bedlam of a Michigan win, you'll be doing the same. But we'll see. UCLA's on a run, and it would be really.
And if somebody try to do me like Masai Ujiri, you're gonna be reading about him. I'm getting on that. I might get on the ladder, like Kevin Hart when he was trying to get on the boat with Philly.
With the Eagles. I mean,
the Eagles. Yeah, he's trying to get on the podium.
I don't want to see that. Kevin Hart might have had some adult beverages during that Super Bowl.
Like, I'm getting on the ladder.
I'm surprised he even knew that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He was somewhere else. He was somewhere else, caught up in the emotion of the game. Well, Jalen, there's a lot to get to during this podcast exclusive. And a couple things I want to say is the Heat won last night against the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson out. Knicks have a tough schedule. But before that, they were on a little losing streak. What do you think about the Miami Heat's current struggles?
I think the Miami Heat are the kind of team that you got to judge as they progress towards the playoffs, because they won the East last year. Look at this year's All-Star game. Bam or Jimmy didn't participate. One was a late addition in Adebayo, and Jimmy did not make the team. That just lets you know how early in the year they were dealing with injuries and trying to figure out some things. And so now all of a sudden you look at the shape of their lineup, you get those two guys back and healthy and playing like two of the best players in the entire East and all-star level. Then you add Victor Oladipo in the final year of his contract. If he can stay healthy and resemble the player that he was in Indianapolis, now all of a sudden you got a big three, and you were able to keep Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero in the process. So I like what the Miami Mafia has done. I'm loving the potential of the playoffs in both conferences. The league is in such a healthy place, and I'm really excited for the playoff matchups.
I am as well, but Jalen, I have to say this. One of your teams that you want to see, that you're looking for to quote unquote disrupt the apple cart in the East, are the Indiana Pacers, and they don't look right. Pacers don't look right. This ain't it, Jay. This ain't the underdog. The role players come together. Everybody does their thing. This ain't it. What's going on in Indiana with your Pacers?
I would have hoped once Caris LeVert got back into the lineup that would catapult the team. I really feel like they did the wrong hire at head coach. I think the Pacers team And the Bulls team, now that they hired, now that they traded for Nurkic, I think both of those teams need coaches that can elevate the potential of the players they have on the roster.
They traded for Vucevic.
Vucevic, yeah. Like, Jacoby White is a baller. He got game. You bring in Vucevic, and now LaVine is struggling. That's coaching. Same with Indiana. That's coaching to me. And, of course, you want to make sure that the players are held accountable. And I know Turner is a terrific shot blocker who has his challenges being consistent offensively. And Sabonis, you know, is still an all-star level player. And Malcolm Brogdon, Prez. But again, I think coaching is the one thing that could dramatically improve that team without changing anybody in uniform.
And just to remind everybody, they extended Nate McMillan last year, and then after a sweep in the playoffs, just let him go. Something happened. Something happened behind the scenes. People didn't see eye to eye. And then they bring in Bjorkgren. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know his whole history or what he's doing behind the scenes with the Pacers, but I do know this. When Nate McMillan took over the Hawks, what happened?
Won a few games in a row, like 6, 7, or 8. And all of a sudden, too, the more important thing is, you know, there's an underrated asset on that team that you and I talk about a lot that was in trade rumors earlier in the year. And once they traded the coach, John Collins was just getting career highs and hanging all on the rim.
I love John Collins. Right. I love John Collins.
So that's what I believe is the overarching problem in Indiana and Chicago for that matter.
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on both those teams because I feel like they're going in different directions. I don't believe the Heat are truly struggling. I know they had a little losing streak, but, you know, they'll work in Oladipo. Heat culture can do that. And they've got a lot of tools. Bam Adebayo is still playing great. And but the Pacers, man, there's something about that mix, something about that leadership. Maybe that coach isn't going to be long for there, but we'll see about that. Now, Jalen, we previewed this a little bit, right? But I'm going to go in-depth on this Michigan-UCLA game. What are your main concerns? What are your main concerns going into this game, looking at UCLA?
Here's my main concern. They continue to play better each game because the tournament is all about momentum and camaraderie. It's not a 7-game series. It's the enthusiasm that you can continue to carry over constantly. Look back at Kemba Walker when he was in college, how they won the Big East tournament, playing all those games in a row, and he went to the NCAA tournament. People wondered, would he be tired? It was more of the momentum. And the thing that scared me about this team is they started with a do-or-die game against Michigan State. And now all of a sudden, it becomes easy money. You become fearless. And that's how they play. That's how they drive to the basket. That's how they share the ball with each other. And so the one thing, though, that I think is going to happen for us that this matchup allows us to do, remember I told you this. Our point guard, Mike Smith, is a transfer from Columbia. And because of his lack of height, he struggles against lanky defenders on the perimeter. Well, UCLA have really good guards, but they also have guards his size.
Yep, Tiger Campbell comes to mind.
And so based on that, he's going to now have a good game. And then Dickinson on the interior is going to shake loose and have his 20-point, 10-rebound game. So I think that along with dribble drives and, like, fearless play from Johns and Brown and more versatility from Bogner, I think those will be the buttons that we're going to need to push today to get it done.
You know what? There's one thing I disagree with. Dickinson's not going to get to 20 points because they're going to double him every time. And he's starting to learn how to pass out the double. You've seen it a couple times during the tournament. They understand that they don't have anybody near his size, and they understand how good he is around the basket, especially when he gets to the left side. I think he's going to get doubled a lot, and then the Michigan's just going to eat that up because, you know, You're not the only one that noticed that. the UCLA is certainly much smaller up front. I'm excited for that one. They better show you. I'm gonna watch every second of it. They better show you where they got you with seats, because I know you can't exactly be on the floor. You know what I mean? So like, where they got you with seats?
All I know is between the first time I went in the Sweet 16 and the second time I went, all I know is I'm sitting at the AD this time. That's all I know.
Okay.
That's all.
We went to a UFC fight one time, and when we got to our seats, you wanted to turn around and leave. Like I just want, you know, I'm a regular guy. You know what I mean? I didn't play in the NBA. I'm not famous. Like, I'm just happy to be in the building. I'm happy to have a free seat. You were pouting.
I might as well just have drinks. I can barely see.
So
my vision ain't the best.
No, it's not. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Like, I can't see anything unless I'm right. Right. So I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
And turning our attention to the NFL draft. Number one, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. They already tweeted it out, basically. Like, I don't know, some on the internet, they figured out they already, like, built the whole, but that's not going to surprise anybody. But you're Joe Douglas, GM of the Jets. You've got the number two pick. And all year long, it was Lawrence and Fields, Lawrence and Fields, Lawrence and Fields. And all of a sudden, Zach Wilson makes a great throw in a pro day. And then all of a sudden, Mac Jones wins a national title. So now it seems like there's decisions to be made at number two and number three. You are Joe Douglas calls your phone and says, who do I pick at number two? Who are you taking?
So I'm not the talent evaluator or the armchair quarterback that doesn't understand that he's going to get some wrong in order to stick to my philosophy.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to have an identity with a team that I have. Whether I'm in ownership, whether I'm in the front office, whether I'm a head coach, we're going to have an identity. When you come to practice, when you watch us play, you're going to know what we're trying to get accomplished. And I bring that up because it goes with the prospects you just mentioned. And the first guy that comes to mind, Mac Jones. Alabama, if they have a great pro quarterback, it's going to be Tua. Right? And I saw Mac Jones with his shirt off after the game.
So did I.
And he goes against everything physically I will be drafting. So if he becomes Tom Brady at the draft, I'll be one of the teams that was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm sticking to my philosophy. I can't be taking him second when his body looked like that.
Were you like, swayed, for real? Were you swayed, like, by the Zach Wilson pro day performance?
Here's the one thing I'll say about Zach Wilson. He might be Justin Herbert for me, and that's okay. I might miss it. He's dressed in overalls. I might miss it. But you know what I'm not going to miss? Justin Fields. Because I know when he go to practice every day, he playing against all people that's going to play on Sundays. And that's going to make him better. And that's going to make him understand how to compete at the highest level. And there's always exceptions to every rule. Just because you come from a big school, that don't mean that you're going to be a great player. Just come from a small school, you will have to overcome people doubting you. But in this draft, and as a Big Ten supporter and a Michigan fan, I want to caution people. And by the way, this podcast, we give the people what they want. I'm literally walking through Detroit Metropolitan Airport. If the sound quality is a little bad, it's because I'm wearing a mask. You hear people in the background is because this is live and uncut. It's what we do. And the one thing I'll say about Justin Fields is don't think he's Dwayne Haskins. You know, so many times when a player comes from a certain school and you lump them all together, and sometimes it's right, like the USC quarterbacks, but he's not Dwayne Haskins. He's more disciplined. And I believe that his talent is really going to translate to the league. So if I had one of them top picks and then I can't get Trevor Lawrence, that's the guy I want.
Yeah, I think so too, which leads to my next question. If you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, you traded up to number three. So you traded up. You had to give to get to number three. And it seems like they really love Jones or Wilson. Which one do you think they'll go?
I believe if you have Jimmy G right now, And the one thing you feel like is he's not clutch. And you feel like you're going to build a defense around him. And you know your defensive line is so crazy along with the one in Washington. You might go Mac Jones.
Really?
Yeah, you might go Mac Jones because if you feel like all of the pieces are in place and you want to plug and play like Tampa did Tom Brady, Mac Jones is your guy.
Do you keep Jimmy G to have sort of that redshirt year that worked out so well for Mahomes?
Absolutely, you do that. He's a professional. He understands how the game works. He'll be still trying to compete for his next gig. And I was encouraging my Lions to try to do that last year. Maybe we would have had Tua or Justin Herbert.
One thing that can happen is much like Justin Herbert, you can find yourself thinking you can have a redshirt year playing behind Tyrod Taylor, and next thing you know, right before the game, you're out there on the field, and it's time to go. So it's always good to have a good backup quarterback. Now, Jalen, I know there's some things that you're very passionate about, the Michigan Wolverines, your family, the game of basketball, your profession, lobster tails.
You're
also very passionate about versus battles. And I saw that Charlamagne the God was talking about this, and I'm not going to say this battle's going to happen, but it's a hypothetical. But I want to know your thoughts on a hypothetical between the two queens. I mean, I never disrespect Mary J. Blige. The two current queens of hip-hop and R&B, Beyonce and Rihanna. Who would you pick to be the winner?
Wow. Oh, Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce, dog. This is Jay-Z versus Drake. This is Jay-Z versus Drake. It sounds like Drake's going to win, but then when you start to listen to all of the records and the catalogs get rolled out, even the currency of his younger audience couldn't, in my opinion, propel him in a battle against Jay, and that's kind of how I feel Rihanna would fare against Beyonce. The Beehive a propel B, and she got catalog on catalog on catalog. And Rihanna hasn't made an album in so many years.
That's a good point.
Don't underestimate that, too.
So, Jalen Rose, another thing that I know you're passionate about is your faith. And, you know, if you follow you on social, you watch the show all day, you're not kind of putting in everybody's face, but I know it's something that matters to you. And I want to talk to you about this, all this fervor online about the Lil Nas X Nike sneakers. If you don't know by now, you're probably not online that much, but Lil Nas X came out with a new song, and to promote it, he came out with a video. The video's got some satanic and sexual imagery in it, and he's coming out with a limited edition shoe that are Nike Air Max 97s. However, what they did is they bought all black Air Max 97s and then customize them with some satanic symbols and imagery, and in what they also say is there's a drop of human blood in each one, and this caused a lot of people to get upset. Nike sued them. Where do you stand on Lil Nas X promotion of his new song?
So for us to be discussing it right now is a win for him.
Yep.
Because he's in the entertainment business, and a lot of times his currency is relevancy. So just us talking about his new project means it's a win, as long as it's not getting him in trouble with the law, right? So with that being said, I appreciate and applaud his continued creativity. Like guys like him and Kanye, you know, as much as you talk about their talent, you know, people kind of use other words sometimes to describe them. It could be eclectic. It could be weird. But however, like, both of those guys are, like, extremely talented and have major followings. And so to whom much is given, much is also required. And you also have an audience that follows and listens to what you say in a lot of ways. And how you guide them matters. How you spread your voice of influence definitely matters. And what I'll say is, if he's not a devil worshiper, it's unfortunate that he's putting that to his fans. This is like the conversation I have with people about smoking. And I've been having this conversation since Red and Meth and back in the Philly Blunt era days. You can smoke, and it does have medicinal benefits, and we've continued to learn what all of those are. But we can't act like it's something that you'll do in front of your three-year-old kid. And so since you wouldn't do it in front of your three-year-old kid, you probably shouldn't promote it to the public.
Hmm.
And so with him, if that's not really who he is, that's a hypocritical stance that's misleading his public, and I don't like that. Now, the satanic part of it, I want to introduce you to a name that's going to bug you out. His name is Eshan. Eshan is from Detroit. You probably have never heard of him. However, I believe he's made more rap albums than any artist in the rap artist in the history of Detroit music. I think he's probably gotten 30 to 50 albums.
It's like 19 albums.
Okay.
Studio albums.
Think about that. So for someone to have 19 studio albums, that means he's been doing this since the early 90s.
Years after he started in 1988.
There you go. And that was when I was in high school. And let me tell you, when I got introduced to Eshan, for everybody that knows me, I don't curse, but we're on a podcast. So if I'm doing comedy or I'm on a podcast sometime for effect, I'm going to do some curse words. So Eshan had just dropped his album, his tape. And I had one of the homies, I had just got, I believe, my Dodge Omni at the time. Mom gave me the hand-me-down Dodge Omni. Had the air freshener with the crown in the back. Had the component speaker in the trunk. Let the back seat down. Gorillas in the trunk. And so one of my homies wanted to turn me on to Eshan. First and foremost, it was a red tape. It wasn't no big deal to me. I just had Compton's Most Wanted. MCA had a blue tape. Like, I get it. You know, whatever. Want to hear the music. Again, parental discretion is advised. So Eshan starts off the song. First song, he puts it in my car. It's my car, dog. This is my car. And you know I'm a DJ, and you know I got my little sound, so you know I think I'm rolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He puts in this red tape, and Eshan's first words out of his mouth were, God, I don't know why he put me on this earth to put me in the hood and all of this and da da da. I was like, yo, let me tell you something, dog. Let me get that tape. I threw this Negro's tape out of my car.
Threw it out the car.
Threw this Negro's tape out of my car. We're not gonna listen to this gentleman. And ever since then, of course, I respect the game because we both Detroiters and we ride for each other. But since then, I never really talked about Eshan. But he is a seasoned veteran. He stand up from Detroit. He an entrepreneur. But that was the art that he put out there. Just like that's the art that Lil Nas X puts out there. And if it relates to devil worship, then I don't support it. What about you?
Well, I'll say that he was also in a hip-hop horrorcore group called Natus, which is Satan backwards. And I think that people that are younger than us will forget the horrorcore movement. And, you know, the biggest group during that was Gravediggers that had RZA in it. And I was going to say Blockbuster, but you go to Netflix and they got different categories of movies. Like there's different categories of genres of
well music. Said, well said.
And this
well
was like said. This was like horror movies. You know, it was for shock value. Sometimes you want to be scared and you want to see and hear blood and guts. This wasn't like Nas, which is like, this is what it's like to live in Queensbridge in 1993.
I got you, Jacoby. There was one from the South, and you know I love the Ghetto Boys. Shout to Jay Prince, the OG. But they had an artist that fell under the horrorcore, I believe. His name was Gangsta Nip. N-I-P. He was one of those artists that you're talking about, as well as some of the ones on the East Coast. Please continue.
This didn't last long. It kind of burned hot and fast and then disappeared. But I will say this: when Obi-Wan Jacoby and my cohorts in Amherst, Massachusetts got together, we were freestyle. There was a good 4 months where we were freestyling about demon scriptures and coffins, because we're doing reflecting whatever listening to, just, you know, just fighting to whatever styles we had. But that, again, that was probably like a 3 month period during that. And I will say that, to circle this all back and put a bow on it, you started off by saying the right thing. Us talking about it is what he wants. That's a win for him. And you know damn well, when you give a Satan a lap dance in a video, that you're just trying to put provocative images out there to get people talking, because in today's internet culture, it's a win. I probably wouldn't even know that this song came out. I've never heard it. I never clicked on it, but I've said Lil Nas X's name more this week than I have ever since Old Town Road was out, which was a banging song. But we're going to move on from
banging
him.
Banging song.
He doesn't need any more banging of our attention. Record. Jalen, if I were to say to you right now, you've got to vote Nikola Jokic, James Harden. Who's your MVP?
I think you got to mention Giannis.
Yep.
Also, if I had to give the slight edge to somebody, as I wake up today, slight edge to the Joker, slight.
Well, neck and neck,
Giannis, Harden, just ahead of Dame.
So I've said this before on the show, but I'm going to say it to you now. And I think ultimately what it's going to come down to between those four names, because I think that LeBron and Embiid have just missed too much time. And I think that if the playoffs started tomorrow, I think we see AD, KD, LeBron, and Embiid on the floor. But it's just not that kind of urgency right now in the middle of a regular season.
Right.
I think if the playoffs were tomorrow, I think you would see all of them on the floor. But for reasons that we all know, they're going to take their time, make sure they're 100% before they come back. But I think with the four names that are in play right now that you mentioned, Dame, Giannis, Jokic, Harden, I think ultimately it will come down to where their team ends up in the standings. And I feel like the Nets are really positioned to end up as number one. And then you've got the Bucks end up around three or four. And the Lakers are going to slide. And Denver might climb up on top of the Lakers and get to the four spot. But I think that James Harden will be this year's MVP. If I get out my crystal ball, that's how I think it's going to end up. Because as I mentioned on the TV show, those eight games and him missing training camp and being fat and the press conference, all that's going to be so far in the rearview mirror. When they have the Nets, KD back, number one seed in the East, I feel like that's going to mean more at that moment when the voters have to put their votes in and James Harden will end up being the MVP. And one of my favorite parts about this process, Jalen, is how stressed out you get about it. Not just who you're going to pick, but more the technical side. You got to log into a secret website. You always do it at the last second because you want to watch all the games and have all the information.
Exactly.
You get stressed out about this, man. You call me up.
It's a real thing.
What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I know I'm like one of the 15 people that you call.
Exactly. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. People have bonuses.
I remember 1 year you couldn't get into the website. Am I making this up? You couldn't get in the website 1 year. You're freaking out, calling your assistant.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
Take it serious. You take it serious. You take it very, very serious. Man. It's a responsibility. Yeah, man.
You got to do all defense, all NBA. You got to, like, it's a lot.
Well, we got to get to some phone calls because we always want to give the people what they want. But one thing I want to ask you, again, we did this on a TV show. Can you really not name any Avengers? Like, straight up dead serious, like this was a test. How many Avengers can you name?
Man, that's a good one. Captain America.
Boom.
I
love you so much.
Batman, Superman.
Nope. God, you're the best. You're the best. Nope.
Aquaman,
nope.
Spider-Man.
Nope. Oh, Aquaman's in there. Spider-Man's in there. There you go.
Okay. Incredible Hulk.
Boom. Oh, you're doing a great job, Jalen. You know what? Good for you. I doubted you at first, but you came through.
I mean, you said I had to get serious. You said if my life depended on it.
I got a little too serious. Well, one thing we always do is give the people what they want. So we want to hear from the people. If you right now push pause in the podcast, call 985-80-JALEN. And also, while the podcast is paused, make sure you go to Spotify, Apple, subscribe to the pod, review the pod, rate the pod. That means a lot to us. And then you call 9580-JALEN, leave us a message just like this.
What's good, Jalen and Jacoby? What's popping? I want to give a shout out to Red the Ledge. You know, you got to say that if you want to get on the show. Shout out to all the staff. I want to say thank y'all. I've been listening to y'all for a mad long time. Started listening to Jalen Jacoby when I was 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. And now I am 20 years old and about to graduate college. Crazy, right? Y'all just like, I just grew up to y'all. Y'all my uncles, basically. But let me just get to the question. For the first time in my life, the other day, me and my friends, we celebrated my best friend's birthday. We went to a strip club in Atlanta. Very, very amazing. Some very talented woman in there. I was very, very impressed, not gonna lie. So can you guys just give me some do's and don'ts in the strip club? I feel like I was doing the right thing, but I feel like I could have had a better experience. And how do you guys feel about lap dances? Tell me how I should just move right in the strip club. Thank y'all, and stay safe in the streets.
Well, you've come to the right place. Jalen Rose, you've been to a strip club. Someone tells me you've been to a strip club in Atlanta before. What advice do you have for this young man? I'll pick it up after you.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. Ryder Dawson, she was 15. Congratulations on graduating from college. It's for people like you that we do this show. We try to be a tastemaker show, not necessarily for the mainstream. We're like a J. Cole. We like a Kendrick Lamar. We're not just putting out songs to put out songs. We're trying to put out bars that are timeless. And so thank you for calling, and Jacoby's right. You came to the right source for the answer to this. A couple of things. One, in a strip club, less is more. Less is more. Don't worry about going to the back room. Don't worry about buying the big bottle. That's overrated. Invest that money into the entertainers. Find you a nice little table. A two chair, four chair, however you like it, depending on whoever you with, duck it off into the corner where you on the beaten path but kind of off the beaten path, and then you invest that into everybody else. Here go a five, here go a 10, here go a 20, to security, to the cold check, to the bar, you know, go tip the DJ a little bit, bang, 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 whatever. And then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes for you. Order a couple of beverages, yeah. Allow them to order beverages. And you know what else? Here's the number one move. Let them dance for each other. So many times guys go into the strip club and they worry about getting dances for themselves. But allow them to dance for each other. Allow them to enjoy their experience. Buy them food. Buy them drinks. That's going to make you different from 98% of the customers. Just do that right there. It's going to change the entire experience. And also, don't go at the prime time. You don't have to go at 9, 10. You don't have to go at 11 p.m. on a Friday or a Saturday. Go on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You know, like, do that. Go off the beaten path time. And then the other thing you do is once everybody's having a good time, then you decide who you want to dance with you. And while everybody's dancing and everybody's having a good time, the etiquette is just that. Be a gentleman. Allow them to navigate the dance. And you just sit back and enjoy. Appreciate the love.
Does anybody you want to get advice from about a gentleman's club experience? It's Jalen Anthony Rose. But I have to adjust his advice a little bit because Jalen's rich. You know what I mean? And when you're 20 years old and you're just dipping your toe in the strip club waters, you don't have the kind of budget to be tipping the doorman and the DJ and the co-check, buying food for all the girls and all that. I hear you, Jalen, what you're trying to say, but I'm trying to give some more practical advice for this young man who's listened to Jalen Jacoby for 5 years. So I'll say this is know your means, set yourself a budget. Definitely echo what Jalen said. Never, ever, ever go to the back room. Ever, 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 ever. And I would say this is remember that the ladies are there for your time. And what I've learned is that my biggest sexual organ is my brain. So sometimes you think you're going to spend $20 on a lap dance. That's going to last about 90 seconds, 2 minutes maybe. What I like to do is if a young lady's next to me, I will buy her a drink and I will give her $20 for her time. And conversate for 7 or 8 minutes. Because I find that getting to know this young woman, whether she's telling the truth or not about where she's from or what whatever her name is or whatever. I just find that little back and forth banter will give me a clear indication of whether or not we have chemistry, that we should continue to talk to each other and perhaps in make some investments into prolonging this relationship in the lap dance experience. That would be my advice for you. And as always, don't get too drunk. Don't get too drunk. Don't get too drunk. And Jalen also gave some really good advice. Day shift. Can't preach enough about the day shift. Thank you so much for the call. We always appreciate all your calls. You can call 985-80-JALEN and leave us voicemails. And I want to thank Jalen for taking time, going through the airport, doing the podcast. That is giving the people what they want. Jalen, we'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.